up on and have preached on the 23rd Psalm and the first Psalm on multitudes of times. But during the last 2 or 3 years, I have been profoundly affected by the Psalms, having read them from a different perspective. And I'd like to share some of the things from the Psalms. The word Psalm itself, in the English, is titled, is an anglicized version of the Greek word psalmos, which is used in the Septuagint to translate a word I don't know how to pronounce in Hebrew, meaning either a song or instrument of music. In this discussion this morning, it was noted that poetry can capture ideas in a very beautiful way. I think of one of the Proverbs which says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Just a wonderful notion. And poetry can do that. But in addition to poetry, that if you put music to it, it profoundly affects the person. And such that we can have not only the content, but the beauty of the language in which it is presented, as well as the music that goes with it, to touch a person at a deep level. One of the things in the book of Psalms, and you'll notice when you get to it, it is very, very different than any other book in the Bible. It's situated, and I'm not sure whether it's by design that way, almost right in the middle of the Bible. It is the largest book. In fact, I did an analysis, and there's 66 pages out of this. That's the largest collection of writings in the whole Bible. The closest to it is Isaiah and Ezekiel, which is about 58 pages. But most of them are much, much shorter than that. Another thing, too, that is different about it is that the Psalms, being songs, are not chapters. It's not a start-to-finish narrative. It's not a history. It's instead a capturing of ideas and thoughts and feelings. One thing that we're touched with it as well is that it focuses a lot on emotion. It gets us right down inside. I have cried more reading the Psalms than I have any other book. And I've touched feelings and things that I just couldn't capture any other way. One of the things that poets do is that they can take something that most of us see or maybe not even aware of, and that they can take that and capture an idea, and they can say it, and then somebody will say, that's the way I feel. And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit, because I want to take some of them and look at them. But this is this collection ranges from one psalm that is only two verses long, unto which is the 117th psalm, to one that's 176 verses long in the 119th psalm. Wide variation. In preparation for this study, I wanted to do an analysis. In fact, I brought the little sheet along. I brought the other one on the number of verses in them. But I wanted to know also, because I've read that David, in fact, I had the mistaken notion that David wrote the Psalms and all of them. And when I began to look at those titles on there, which I hadn't done before getting ready for this study, I went through and tabulated, and you might want to do this, we can learn a lot of things just by hearing, but active involvement is really, really a beneficial learning vehicle or tool. I would encourage you to take a sheet, take a spreadsheet, and put at the head of this the names of the people that wrote it, and the columns here, and when you find one, just put it in and then tally which psalms. And this, so I did it from the first psalm to the 150th. There are 150 psalms. As we know, different collections that have been collected over time, and looked at who wrote those. And they are asserted on it that there were actually several different people involved as the authors are. That Moses is attributed one, David 72 of them, Asaph 12, Solomon 2, sons of Korah 10, Heman 1, Ethan 1, and 51 are just said with nothing. It just has the psalm number, whatever it is, and in that designation. As a part of this study, let's just take a look at who are the people, who are the authors on this. Well, David, and we know David. We know him as the one who killed Goliath, who was the king during the time of after Saul and before Solomon. He's the father of Solomon. We know him because of his as of involvement with Bathsheba and a number of other things. There, some people, though, challenge whether or not that he actually was the one that wrote the ones that have his name on it. It said the Psalms of David are by him. But many people say that the Hebrew word could be either translated either to David, for David, or about David, or by him. There's a lot of discussion on that. And some people say that he actually didn't write them, but somebody else did. And they say because of the life that he lived and with Bathsheba and so forth, that how could he do anything like that? One of the things that I've found that in looking at this, that there are a number of compelling reasons that suggest that David, that we know, actually did write them, and it was by him, and he penned them, and I think there's compelling evidence, and I'd like to share with you these things. One, that he's known as a psalmist, in 2 Samuel 23:1 said, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high and anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel." So the scripture, right at the end of his life, states that he was the psalmist in Israel. David was endowed by the Spirit of God. He was empowered. In 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2 says, "And David asserts that the Spirit of the Lord spake to me," or "by me, and his word was in my tongue." So we have here evidence. And later, Jesus, when speaking to the Jews in the temple in Mark 12, and verse 34, 35, and 37, Jesus answered and said, while he taught in this temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool," quoting from the Psalms, and Jesus attributed that to him. The Apostle Peter in Acts the second chapter, when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, uses that as an anchor point, stating, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for it is on the right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice," and so forth, as he quotes one of the Psalms and uses that as proof. The early Christians in Acts 4 and 24 and 26, which was noted and read earlier this morning, attributed the same. "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, the Lord thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and imagine such a vain thing?" And so forth. Then the apostle, that David had outstanding poetic skill. There was just, you read the eulogy of Saul and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 1 and 19 and 27. And I wish I had time to read it to you. I've got it printed out here, but time doesn't. But it is beautifully written, just wonderfully. And then David was a man after God's own heart. The Apostle Paul, in his when he was preaching to the Jews in the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, said that referred to him as a man after God's own heart. But I submit, in addition to this, that David was exceptionally qualified by cause of his life experience. I want to talk about some of the others. I want to come back to that just in a moment. But I want to talk about these others, and I'll come back to it. Asaph was a singer. When David was setting up for the worship in Jerusalem, when they brought the ark in, he identified Asaph, Heman and Ethan. And I'm not going to give you all the scriptures right now because I need to move on for the content, but I've got it. I can provide that for you. And these men were Levites, and their families lived on, and that when the children of Asaph, actually, when several years, hundreds of years later, when they came out of the exile, and Nehemiah and Ezra set up the worship again in Jerusalem, that the children of Asaph were involved as the singers. They had more than 100 singers and trumpeters when they came up to the temple, and these men were involved in dealing with this. And the sons, and Solomon, we know, a couple are attributed to him. The sons of Korah, which said that there are four of the sons of Korah, that there were 10 of those. And that according to my analysis and also of other scholars, that these were the sons of Korah that had the uprising against Moses back in the book of Numbers. And that when they rebelled against Moses, that the earth opened up and swallowed them up and consumed them, and 100 and more priests were consumed by fire on that occasion. One of the scholars that I read after pointed out that the fact that he could have his descendants involved, that people can benefit, and that because even though the rebellion of the parents, the children could come about, and they really wrote some, really were involved in some interesting and good things. The time that these Psalms were written, over a space of Moses, that are over 1,500 years before Christ, there was a period of 450 years that Paul refers to in Acts 13 for the judges, then Saul and David and Solomon for about 40 years each. And most of these were David, Asaph, and others were written here during the time of the unified kingdom. And one was written, and Psalm 137, probably during the exile or afterwards. And the others we don't know, but it was over a long space of these. Up until this time, there was no songbook or collection of songs in Israel. And David spearheaded the getting the music and getting those together to do that. And so that we have those dates. It's hard in most cases to pinpoint. Some of them we don't have any date at all, and others that the date can be pinpointed just because of the specifics on it. I'd like now to go to some specific psalms and look at them. And I want to talk just briefly about how David was eminently qualified by his life experience to speak of things that really touch your heart. Sometimes, and the benefits of those that can be to us, is that we don't know what we feel sometimes until somebody says it. But these get personal, and David starts sharing some feelings about fear and grief and guilt that it surprised me that a man would open up that much to other people. Because I saw him as this strong person who would go down, kill 200 Philistines just to get his wife, and do all and all of the things that he had done and mastered. Sometime perhaps during we'll make sure that I'm right here, that this is one by him. Yes, on Psalm 102. I want to share with you about the things that it can do for us. Most of you know that my wife is in assisted living and has been for 2.5 years. Right away after we went in, we started reading the scripture, and I try to read to her, try to every day. We started out reading in the Psalms and the companion areas in Samuel and the Kings to try to gain some understanding and feeling. I've kept a log on this most of the time, and on December the 10th, I was reading Psalm 102, and after we finished, Priscilla said to me, she said, this is one the way that I feel that is going on for me. And I said, well, what is it? And we went back, and it was verse 24. David said, I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are through all generations. Persons who have a life-threatening illness, major life circumstances and the habit of their life is being shortened, begin to wonder, are you going to, please don't take me away in my younger years. She was 58 when she had to go into a home. For those of you who may not know her, I'm not seeking for any kind of sympathy. I've worked through, I think, most of my grief. I'm trying to share because that I was the thinking type person. One of the things that I think that my feeling, my compassion, my understanding for others has been heightened. And I encourage each of you for yourself, if you're not already doing it. Jimmy mentioned this morning how the Psalms has taken on meaning. When we face serious situations in life, that we often have feelings we can't even identify. And I sure have them. But I have found that it is a great comfort to know that somebody else has had them, and then to deal with them. I want now to go to a situation as part of this was the social and cultural conditions in which that a person lived. David lived during the time of Saul, and most of these psalms were written when things were not really very good for people. Over to the southwest, here's Jerusalem. Over to the southwest is the Philistines. It's about a 20-mile travel over there, about as far as near over Fort Worth. Back to the southeast is the Moabites, and the Edomites back down here, the Ammonites, and all these different people would come in and warring from time to time. I want to focus on one little place that's mentioned in 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, starting in verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Now I want us to read this, not just the threshing floor and whatever, but think about it. If you lived in that little town about 8 miles south of Adullam, where David holed up in a cave, there at one time. But David had was going down here. These Philistines were coming out. You go to bed at night and someone robs your grain that you've worked hard all day. We hear people talking about the violence today and people not feeling safe in your homes. They didn't feel safe in their homes there either. And these are relevant for us today to read about. I'm not going to read all of this, but I would encourage you to read that, but just to give you a very quick capture of this, that David went down there to fight against them, and then Saul got word of it, and Saul was actually David's father-in-law, but Saul sent an army down after David to pursue him. He had earlier thrown a spear at him 2 times. You talk about people having in-law problems. Here is a man that his own father-in-law throws a spear at him, and he dodges it and gets away. He leaves from there, runs out, goes through the hill country out around in here, and goes over to En-Gedi. Now, I read that without looking at the map, without taking the slow part. But I want to show you a picture that in my Bible program that shows what that area down there was like. You get over there by the Dead Sea, and this is actually at Qumran, which is up just about 30 miles north of there. Look at that land. Can you imagine someone coming in and running you out of your home, and you are pursuing and having to go into a cave to hide out because your father-in-law and a company of people are coming out with swords and spears after you? I have a picture here. It was taken from the inside out of Engedi, or from Masada, which is just south, about 12 miles south of there. But put yourself in that cave, and I want you to listen to a psalm that David wrote after that incident happened. It's Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You talk about being alone. There are people who are alone in crowds today. I talk to people who, students that I work with, I talk to other people that they're in their own homes and they feel alienated and cut off. He goes on to say, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. If you cry at night, if you've had a loved one lost, if you have a situation, my neighbor came over yesterday, and their grown son who has moved to another city, they can't find him. He's been having a lot of depression for 2 days now. They don't know where he is. This is happening a lot. Reports are telling me that there are teenagers, like 1 out of 10, have contemplated suicide in the last couple of months. And you talk about serious things. David was feeling, he says, my cry unto thee, for I besought, I brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, that they are stronger than I. Being my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. It can feel his pain when you feel overwhelmed. Talk to people in nursing homes, in hospitals, and various circumstances. This is one of those psalms that we're talking about this morning of the laments. Now this one ends up that he wanted to do that not for his own personal well-being, but notice what his appeal was. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. One other thing that I want to mention about David. Were you aware? I wasn't fully aware of this until I was studying reading in Samuel. But the man who said that, not only was he run here, but later on, his own son, after he was king, Absalom, chases him out of his home. He flees away to go. But that was not until after one of his other sons, and he had 20 children, incidentally. But one of his sons raped his daughter. Another son killed the son who had raped her. You talk about the kinds of things that are going. Yet, even with all of that, David stayed with the Lord, and that he would praise him and would hold out in his prayer. He prayed because of his own sin. And then I'd like to note some other psalms of praise. In Psalm 103 is an excellent example. But because of the time, I want to take just one other one. Now I get my things here. I guess this lady.
Here it is.
I want us just to look at this one little psalm. And that David, as a child, I memorized with great delight the shortest verse in the New Testament, which is Jesus wept. It wasn't until I was over 60 years of old that I think I'm beginning to understand what that says about this compassion. I want you to look at this shortest psalm, and I want you to note some things that are in it. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. We notice it's bracketed with the focus on the praise, as many of the praise psalms are. And then He appeals to all nations, all people within those nations, for His merciful kindness. This is the same man that God kept with Him. He'd come back and repent. He would repent. He would come and stay with the Lord, wrote the Psalms, and that He was praising Him for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Major themes in the whole of Psalms are praise, mercy, and truth. And the balancing of being truthful and honest with people and with us in our relationship with the Lord, and also with the mercy that God has shown us. Well, my time is gone, and there's just so much that can be. But in short, that the Psalms were songs of praise for teaching, understanding, that focus on praise, dealing with the themes of mercy and truth balanced.